Good morning, Church of the Messiah.
Good morning.
And good morning to you who have joined us online. You are a part of this fellowship, and the Lord is with you in the place that you are watching. Last Sunday, Pastor Marty encouraged us to listen to God and converse with him in prayer, that prayer was to be a two-way conversation, that it was not to be like calling up a friend on the phone, sharing all that we want to say, and then hanging up before the other person had a chance to talk. I've heard it said that you only repeat what you know when you talk, but if you listen, you might learn something new. So we want to position ourselves not only to talk to God, but also to listen to him. So this morning, using the text of 1 Samuel 1 on page 198 in your Bible, if you want to follow along, we're going to be going back and forth to those scriptures. We will dive into listening lessons from Hannah's life, who is featured in 1 Samuel 1, page 198. Now, there are multiple lessons, multiple messages that this chapter teaches that I won't have a chance to dive into. Hannah is grappling with the pain of infertility. So a four-point message of listening will not touch some deeper and more complex issues. But I want to be sensitive to her pain in presenting this message. So the message is simple, but there's a lot going on. But before we delve into anything, which I've called listening lessons from Hannah, let us pray. O Lord, open my mouth, that I may speak your truth. Open our eyes that we may see, our ears that we may hear, our mind and our heart that we may know and understand, and turn to you, Lord Jesus, and be healed. Do this by the power of your Holy Spirit. To you, Lord Almighty, belong all glory, honor, and power. In Jesus' name, amen. Okay, so Hannah's story takes place in the era of Israel's judges, the time before kings ruled over Israel. Scripture's frequent commentary about this period of time: in those days, there was no king in Israel. Every man did that which was right in his own eyes. Every man did that which was right in his own eyes. Judges 21:25. So in the opening chapters of 1 Samuel, this is the time of the judges, shenanigans was going on in the larger nation of Israel, and shenanigans was going on in the house of God. Hannah's story is bookended by the stories of Phinehas and Hophni, who are priests, the sons of Eli, that we later discover have no regard for the Lord, priests who mishandle the people's offerings to suit their own personal preferences. So this is the setting that this story takes place. In those days, there was no king in Israel. Every man did that which was right in his own eyes. So looking at your text, 1 Samuel 1, the first two verses. There was a certain man from Ramathaim, a Zuphite from the hill country of Ephraim, whose name was Elkanah, son of Jeroham, the son of Elihu, the son of Tohu, the son of Zuph, an Ephraimite. He had two wives. One was called Hannah, and the other Peninnah. Peninnah had children, but Hannah had none. In this era, polygamy was not unusual. It was culturally acceptable at this time, but culturally acceptable did not mean synonymous with smooth sailing. Genesis 29 and 30 speaks of another rivalry between two wives, Jacob's wives, Israel's wives, Leah and Rachel. Their painful situation is echoed in these verses, as Peninnah has children and Hannah has none. So moving forward in the text, 1 Samuel verse 3 through 8. Year after year, this man went up from his town to worship and sacrifice to the Lord Almighty at Shiloh, where Hophni and Phinehas, the two sons of Eli, were priests of the Lord. Whenever the day came for Elkanah to sacrifice, he would give portions of the meat to his wife Peninnah and to all her sons and daughters. But to Hannah he gave a double portion because he loved her, and the Lord had closed her womb. And because the Lord had closed her womb, her rival kept provoking her in order to irritate her. This went on year after year. Whenever Hannah went up to the house of the Lord, her rival provoked her till she wept and would not eat. Elkanah, her husband, would say to her, "Hannah, why are you weeping? Why don't you eat? Why are you downhearted? Don't I mean more to you than 10 sons? Since the rival wife had multiple sons and daughters, this was a long time. This annual visit to God's house brought Hannah a repeated scenario. Reading from the Message version, Peninnah, Hannah's rival wife, taunted her cruelly, rubbing it in and never letting Hannah forget that God had not given her children. This went on year after year. Every time Hannah went to the sanctuary of God, she could expect to be taunted. Hannah was reduced to tears and had no appetite. A space that should have been a safe haven for Hannah, the sanctuary of God, was a place of pain as she listened to Peninnah's jabs. Even though Hannah was given a double portion from Elkanah, her husband, the taunting she absorbed from Peninnah removed Hannah's desire to enjoy the abundance of her provision. Maybe you don't have a Peninnah-like person in your life continually poking you, causing you to lose your appetite. But do you have a Peninnah-like worry, concern, situation, failure, a fear that the enemy of your soul continually pokes you with to the point that you lose your focus, that you are thrown off balance? Louis Giglio has a book based on Psalm 23 called "Don't Give the Enemy a Seat at Your Table." It's time to win the battle of your mind. And in Psalm 23, verse 5, you're familiar with it, "You prepare a table before me in the presence of my enemies." In his teaching, Giglio gives an illustration of a banquet table of delicious foods, a table of refreshment for two, you and the Lord of the universe. You are at this table, fellowshipping with the Lord, and then the enemy of your soul, a Peninnah of whatever variety, comes carrying an extra chair to that table and joins you there. You not only allow it to remain at the table, but soon this uninvited guest is also eating from your banquet. Eventually, the guest hijacks the conversation in your fellowship with the Lord as your focus shifts from the Lord to addressing the intruder, this third party. From our reading today in 1 Peter 5:8, "Be alert and of sober mind. Your enemy, the devil, prowls around like a roaring lion, looking for someone to devour." In his book, Giglio writes, "So maybe I couldn't stop the devil from prowling around my table, but in Jesus' name, I definitely did have the choice whether I allowed the enemy to sit down." So, listening lesson number one from Hannah: pay attention to what you pay attention to. It's hard to hear the Lord's voice when we regularly focus elsewhere. So note where your mental energies and your imaginations go. Jesus tells us in John 10:10-11, "The thief comes only to steal, to kill, and destroy. I have come that they may have life and have it to the full. I am the good shepherd." So to distinguish between the voices, we talk about listening for God. The voice of the thief, the enemy of your soul, speaks with condemnation. The fatalistic, "You'll never get this right." That voice that says that we are stuck in failure, that we are stuck in sin. There is no hope offered in this voice. Whereas the voice of the good shepherd points out our sins so we can confess, that is to agree with what God says, so that we can know freedom and his Holy Spirit can come alongside of us to help us. The good shepherd speaks hope, not stuckness. So I compare the two voices in this slide. The enemy's voice condemns, rushes, pushes you, frightens, confuses, discourages, worries, obsesses, and shames us. Again, this is the voice of hopelessness. where the voice of the Good Shepherd, the voice of God, he stills. He leads, not pushes. He reassures. He enlightens. He encourages, not discourages. He comforts, not frightens. He calms, supports, and values us. His is a voice of hope. In our Old Testament lesson, Isaiah 55, 2 through 3, the Lord says, "Listen, listen to me, and eat what is good, and your soul will delight in the richest affair. Give ear and come to me. Hear me, that your soul may live." That's the voice of the Good Shepherd. Again, listening lesson number one, pay attention to what you pay attention to. Recognize distractions, those thoughts that don't align with God's character, his truth, and his hope. So let's go back to Hannah. We're going to look at verses 9 and 10. I'll read it for you. "Once, when they were finished eating and drinking at Shiloh, Hannah stood up. Now Eli, the priest, was sitting on a chair by the doorpost of the Lord's temple. In bitterness of soul, Hannah prayed to the Lord." So listening lesson number two is an echo of last week's sermon. In faith, pour out your heart before the Lord, trusting that he will hear and respond. Hannah experienced the same heartbreak as she did in those many years prior. But this time, scripture records that Hannah went before the Lord and deposited her pain at the Lord's feet. Sometimes we can no longer put up that brave front. We have to go before the Lord with the thing that's taken up far too much real estate in our minds. Sometimes this can be on a solo setting, you and the Lord alone. Sometimes for me, that looks like typing an email to myself, actually to God, my prayer on a phone, or typing up a prayer to God on my Word document. For some reason, I think in circles, but I write in straight lines. For other people, they go to a secluded place and they say these words before the Lord, just kind of have it out, just getting it all out. Either way, we need the Lord's help to show us what is going on beneath the surface of these things that are bubbling up in our hearts. Because there is no worse deception than self-deception. We need the Lord's help to show us. Now, Hannah's emotional pain was great. The Message translation reads, "Crushed in soul, Hannah prayed to God and cried inconsolably." Sometimes we need someone who will be Jesus with skin on. The Lord uses wise and godly friends or professional counselors to help us sort out when we are really desperately needing help and don't know where to start. Help us with those strong emotions. We need caring and trusted people outside of ourselves to help us to hear where we are, to stand with us, to remind us of what we've forgotten, to help us see what we don't see, or sometimes in love, show us what we don't want to see. God has used and is currently using all three venues, one-on-one time, time with friends, and time with professional counselors to minister to me in my broken areas period. And I thank God for all three of those venues. God works mightily through those three. I want to make sure I put that out there. So listening lesson number two, in faith, pour out your heart before the Lord, trusting that he will hear and respond. Hebrews 11:6, without faith, it is impossible to please God, because anyone who comes to him must believe that he exists and that he rewards those who earnestly seek him. In John 10:27, Jesus, the good shepherd, says, "My sheep listen to my voice. I know them and they follow me." So when you are listening for the Lord's voice, he knows the unique way to move to get your attention, which may not be the same way he will move in the people around you, but he knows how to speak to his sheep so that the sheep hear. Hannah's experience in the text is echoed in Psalm 18, verse 6. "In my distress, I call to the Lord. I cry to my God for help. From his temple, he heard my voice. My cry came before him, even into his ears. So Hannah poured out many thoughts of her heart and many emotions before the Lord from his temple. Scripture records the tiniest but most significant part, her vow. Going back to the text, 1 Samuel 1:11-13, first portion. And she, Hannah, made a vow saying, O Lord Almighty, if you would only look upon your servant's misery and remember me, and not forget your servant, but give her a son, then I will give him to the Lord for all the days of his life, and no razor will ever be used on his head. As she kept on praying to the Lord, Eli observed her mouth. Hannah was praying in her heart, and her lips were moving, but her voice was not heard. Eli didn't hear Hannah's prayer, but God did. And the Lord Almighty knew what would get Hannah's attention to let her know that he did hear her voice and he did hear her prayer. Now, some have interpreted Hannah's vow as bargaining with the Lord, but I also believe her vow was more God-oriented than self-oriented. Hannah's plea was that God would use her pain for a greater purpose, and that purpose would be his glory. Hannah's prayer was sacrificial. If you look at it, for God's greater purposes, Hannah's vow willingly forfeited the multiple joys of motherhood. Hannah handed over her answer to her prayer for God's safekeeping. Hannah would not have the daily privilege of watching her child's personality unfold, knowing his favorite foods, or watching him interact with the other boys at the local synagogue each week. Hannah's ultimate desire was to see God's holy purposes fulfilled. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done. So her vow was not only about relieving her pain and shame. So listening lesson number 3. Seek the Lord and his glory first and foremost. I once had a phone whose GPS was misaligned. I would be in a neighborhood wanting directions. I'm looking for left and right turns. My GPS signal would be sitting on the nearby highway, and it was giving me exit numbers. So because of this misalignment between locations, I couldn't act on what I was hearing. It is hard to hear and act on God's voice for directions without agreement on what the starting point is. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done. So we can't hear or act on God's guidance from his highway of holiness if we insist on staying on the back roads of our desires. Listening lesson number 3, seek the Lord in his glory first and foremost. God's answer to our prayers can be yes, and sometimes it can be no. A personal story. Shout out to my 2 children who are here, Ben and Mahari. And forgive us ahead of time if Aunt Mama embarrasses you, because I wrote this part not knowing who would be here. But they know the story. You know the story. When I was an active duty military wife, I longed for the day that my life would be normal. Normal meaning I would have the luxury of an international conflict coming on CNN or the news, wherever, and I wouldn't have to worry that whatever was happening over there would affect anyone at my dinner table in my house. So when I saw that my 11-year-old son was developing what I'll call first responder tendencies, which is to run toward danger if someone was in need of help, I saw this trend and I thought, oh no, oh no. I have already served my country as a military wife. I am not about to do it again as a military mom. Oh Lord, please. And before I can even get the next thought out, that is how quickly it happened. I knew where I was going, but I hadn't even verbalized it in my head. And the Lord stopped it right there. You can't pray that. You pray that his life would glorify me. Okay, so I went to the exchange, and I bought the scariest postcard I could think of, representing the scariest branch that my son can join, the U.S. Marines. And I wrote, pray that his life, Ben's life, would glorify me. I wrote that on this card. He graduated from Virginia Military Institute. He became a Marine. Not only a Marine, but a Marine's Marine. So when people ask me, do you know what your son is, where your son is or what he is doing? No, I have no idea. That's for my protection and benefit. But all I can do is circle back to that prayer. Pray that his life would glorify me. So my prayer, the center point, the starting point, was me. My desires, what I wanted, what was comfortable. God desired a different standing, or different start point. His kingdom, his purposes, his will. And I had to surrender the back rows of my desires to align myself with God's positioning if I wanted to hear anything about my son. Pray that his life would glorify me. That's actually good for any child, a parent praying for a child, and for a lot of situations. Proverbs 3:5-6, trust in the Lord with all your heart and lean not on your own understanding. In all your ways, submit to him, and he will make your path straight. Listening lesson number 3, seek the Lord and his glory first and foremost. So let's return to Hannah, pouring out her heart to God, verses 13 through 18. Hannah was praying in her heart, and her lips were moving, but her voice was not heard. Eli thought she was drunk and said to her, how long will you keep on getting drunk? Get rid of your wine. Not so, my lord, Hannah replied. I am a woman who is deeply troubled. I have not been drinking wine or beer. I was pouring out my soul to the Lord. Do not take your servant for a wicked woman. I have been praying here out of my great anguish and grief. Eli answered, go in peace, and may the God of Israel grant you what you have asked of him. She said, may your servant find favor in your eyes. Then she went away and ate something, and her face was no longer downcast. God's answer to our prayers can be yes, no, or wait. Hannah received a wait answer from the Lord, because after praying, Hannah did not immediately conceive, give birth, and walk out the temple holding baby Samuel. So there is a wait, and scripture doesn't say how long that wait was. But at the end of this prayer, at the end of their time at the temple, Hannah, Peninnah, Peninnah's children, and Elkanah returned home. Nothing on the outward circumstances of this family had changed, but in fact, everything had changed. God was at work in Hannah's situation, but she would have to wait for God's timing. Listening lesson number 4. The Lord is faithful to his word and always at work. Hold fast and wait for him. When God's answer to your prayer is wait, periods of silence is not inaction on his part. God remains at work behind the scenes, fulfilling his word. Pastor Jim Brown, hi Jim and Sandra, would often quote his mom by saying, God's preparing you for something and something for you, but neither is quite ready yet. In today's gospel reading, Jesus speaks of an unjust judge who addresses a persistent widow's case, not for justice's sake, but to end his personal annoyance. Luke 18:7-8, Will not God bring about justice for his chosen ones who cry out to him day and night? Will he keep putting them off? I tell you, he will see that they get justice and quickly. However, when the Son of Man comes, will he find faith on the earth? Listening lesson number 4 again, the Lord is faithful to his word and is always at work. Hold fast and wait on him. Our Old Testament lesson in Isaiah 55:8-11 reveals that God's waiting answers are both a mystery and a process from our perspective. For my thoughts are not your thoughts, neither are your ways my ways, declares the Lord. As the heavens are higher than the earth, so are my ways higher than your ways, and my thoughts than your thoughts. That's the mystery of God, mystery of waiting for answers to prayer. As the rain and snow come down from heaven and do not return to it without watering the earth and making it bud and flourish, so that it yields seed for the sower and bread for the eater, so is my word that goes out from my mouth. It will not return to me void, but it will achieve what I desire and accomplish. It will accomplish what I desire and achieve the purpose for which I sent it. So God's ways are also process. Note, God uses an agricultural term for the fulfillment of his word. We can become so focused on the final result that we don't see or appreciate the snow, the rain, the softened ground, the root development, the baby sprouts, the growth and maturity, all our answers to our prayer. Not to mention what the additional steps to convert the grain into edible bread. That's a long process. If we're waiting for step number 20 to celebrate, we have 19 and it just flies over our head. But God is at work to bring to fulfillment his word. So the Lord will ensure that he, and not the situation, has the last word on anything concerning the children that he loves. Everything that happens in the lives who believe in Jesus is not good, because we live in a broken world. But God is good, and he is continually transforming pain for his glory and our ultimate good. So today I encourage you not to give up on the Lord as you wait. Again, listening lesson 4, the Lord is faithful to his word and is always at work. Hold fast and wait for him. The Lord was faithful to his word to Hannah. She conceived a son named Samuel, which means heard of God, because she asked the Lord for him. Hannah was faithful to her vow and returned the answer to her prayer, Samuel, to the Lord for his safekeeping and service. The Lord's greater purpose, the eternal purpose, would be accomplished through Hannah's pain, prayer, and faithfulness. As Samuel, in the days where there was no king, where every man did as what was right in their own eyes, Samuel, we become a mighty prophet, a spokesman for the Lord, and a judge for Israel, who would anoint Israel's first kings, King Saul, and most importantly, King David. Hannah could not have understood the why for her many years of sorrow. In the same way, even after she bore other children, the text goes on to say, Hannah could not have comprehended how big God's redemption or answer to her prayer would be. And thinking about the mysteries of God's ways brings to mind a hymn, which I will not sing, but I would say. God moves in a mysterious way, his wonders to perform. He plants his footsteps in the sea and rides upon the storm. Deep in unfathomable minds of never failing skill, he treasures up his bright designs and works his sovereign will. Ye fearful saints, fresh courage take. The clouds you so much dread are big with mercy and shall break in blessings on your head. Judge not the Lord by feeble sense, but trust him for his grace. Behind a frowning providence, he hides a smiling face. His purposes will ripen fast, unfolding every hour. The bud may have a bitter taste, but sweet will be the flower. Blind unbelief is sure to err and scan his work in vain. God is his own interpreter, and he will make it plain. So Hannah teaches us, pay attention to what you pay attention to. Hannah encourages us, in faith, pour out your heart before the Lord, trusting that he will hear and he will respond. Hannah exhorts us, seek the Lord in his glory first and foremost. And Hannah reminds us, the Lord is faithful to his word and is always at work. We are to hold fast and wait on him. Jeremiah 33:3. This is what the Lord says. He who made the earth, the Lord who formed it and established it, the Lord is his name. Call to me and I will answer you and tell you great and unsearchable things that you do not know. In the name of the Father, and the Son, and the Holy Spirit, amen.